Hey guys, what's up?
Hey. Light this candle.
Light this candle.
We're gonna listen to some cool swanky 70s music, and hopefully we'll after this epidose you'll be well out of your gravity zone.
God.
That's right. Gonzo guys in space.
Hang on, let's get a little space music going. Some space sounds.
You know, I thought the music was pretty good, and then I saw who did it.
Yeah,
and then I realized
that's the first thing I saw.
Yeah.
So,
but I won't feel like oh, so the film. We should do a proper introduction.
We probably should say what the name of the movie is.
Yeah, the film was my pick this time, and it's The Humanoid, starring Richard Kiel and Barbara Bach, and a bunch of other people.
One of the other guys was in Dead or Alive, or one of his Peter Jackson films. I don't remember which one.
Oh, well, that's cool.
Yeah, because I did do a little research on this. Did you guys get the link to that I sent you?
I can't believe there's a whole series of sites on that.
That is amazing.
What's that one guy's page? It's a good page.
It's a good page.
It's a dedicated page.
Yeah.
The Humanoid.
The picture I'm looking at says Lemonoid, because it's Italian. Lemonoid.
It was full on Italian.
Did you guys know it was an Italian film?
I kind of had a guess when I could see somewhat... The audio dubbing hinted at it was an Italian movie. Not because they were speaking English, but it's the way that it was dubbed. It reminded me of, Italian spaghetti westerns.
Yeah, that's like every search I did, like a lot of it talked about like spaghetti western in space.
So. I'm going to I'm borrowing this, but I'm going to say this anyway. So we all know what the alternate title for this movie was, right?
We were coming up with it because it's like the old bit about how the Sci-Fi Channel uses the most literal terms. Like Jurassic, the Patrice O'Neill joke where a Jurassic Park would be called a dinosaur forest. So what would the humanoid be called? What did you call it earlier?
I think the Italian version, I think the Italian translates to, I'm borrowing your idea, copyright infringement.
Yeah. Well, copyright infringement is what I think. Yours was better than when you sent me back. What did you send me today?
My sci-fi alternate title for it, not pun alternate title for it, is Celestial Body Battles.
I think it should have been called, Space Gall, as in, like, you've got a lot of gall making a movie this close to Star Wars. I mean, it just...
You could also call it Space Jaws.
Space Jaws.
Space what?
Space Jaws.
Or War in Space.
How about Boar in space?
Yeah. I compared it to is, I don't know if you've ever, well, obviously you haven't been to flea market, but have you guys ever seen, there's a whole group of people that collect this, but like knockoff toys.
Oh yeah.
Like, when like the Mexican version, this was like those come to life. This was like all of those knockoff toys that you see at really bad flea markets. And, like, in carnivals, like, the Darth Vader that is just slightly altered, this is, like, all of that in film version.
Oh, hey,
it's like the Night of the knockoff toys. Oh.
Yeah, so The Humanoid, I got some stats. Do you guys got stats?
Stats?
Yeah, it came out in 19...
Research.
It came out in 1979. It was Italian...
Aliens?
Yeah, it was... What?
I wanted to be the first one to get that in there.
What was it?
What the hell, you?
What the hell are you talking about?
What the hell?
Kid, you gotta be out of your gravity zone.
Yeah,
really. Yeah, it beats the desk job.
I wrote down so many of those. So it was like a couple years after Star Wars. It was an obvious. It was amongst the cavalcade of B movie ripoffs of Star Wars. This one did in fact star Richard Kiel, which those of you who don't know is Jaws from the Star Wars movie, as I like officially remember him, the giant fan from the Happy Gilmore movie.
I've seen him in person at comic book conventions and stuff.
Oh, that is awesome.
He's a specimen. I mean those hands. I never got to see like under the giant up close or anything, but that was pretty impressive. The times in the movie when like he picked up the woman,
yeah,
like to give her a hug, when he picked up Barbara Gibson, he was I was just like, oh my god. I mean, you forget, like, I mean, he's a huge, he can shoot 7 feet, I mean, for sure. Sorry, anyway, go ahead.
So Barbara Bach is in it, a couple other people are in it, Letterman, so on and so forth.
Barbara Bach, you know who she was married to, right?
Johann Sebastian Bach?
No, Ringo Starr.
Oh, wow, just further...
They made Caveman together.
Caveman, that's
right. One of my sister's favorite movies when we were kids, my sister and I watched... We had, like, this certain, like, all these movies that we would watch, and, like, Mr. Mom, Caveman... The Great Santini, which I don't know how that's in there, but Barbara Bach was the object of Ringo's desire in that movie Caveman, which is actually pretty funny, and didn't quite do that too.
It's a pretty funny movie. I have that on VHS tape, by the way. I just want
to excellent.
So it's sort of that the score that we got a lovely taste of earlier was done by Ennio Morricone. For those of the people who don't know, is the great Italian composer who has composed many of Western movies and so on and so forth. He did the Man with No Name trilogy. He's done some other movies. And he also, what's that Bronson movie that he did that was a Western with Fonda, with Peter Fonda?
A Western with Peter Fonda? Oh, Man Who Shot Liberty Valance?
No, it's,
Shane? No, Peter Fonda. What can I think
Peter
of?
Peter Fonda and Charles Bronson.
All right, quick.
In the desert.
Well, you know what? We all have the internet right here at our fingertips.
I know, it's a race.
I'm sitting there going,
pew, 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 pew.
I'm not racing.
No,
I'm so slow.
But at any rate, he's done a lot of scored a lot of films, and this was kind of his who was it? This was his. I probably have the movie wrong.
Where in the cosmos did they get him? To get him to agree to do that?
I have kid. Oh,
for me.
Where in the cosmos?
I'm just amusing myself. Where in the cosmos? Where in the cosmos did they get it?
John gets it first.
I got two of them. I also got them where in the Helios.
Where in the Helios?
Oh, it's not Chino. Right. Once Upon a Time in the West.
Oh, okay.
That's a great movie. That's a Sergio Leone movie. Henry Fonda, that's why. I got that twitch.
Oh, okay.
That movie's amazing.
Yeah, I don't...
Whereas Once Upon a Time in the West was an entertaining original movie, Ennio Morricone did the score for The Humanoid, which was not. Although I did find it a little more entertaining than the last movie.
I liked the score.
I liked it better than Santa Claus.
Theme music. That'll be the theme music for me after I get done taking a poop. I can just imagine busting open the door and walking out to that song. Yes.
Well, but you know what my theory is too is that the soundtrack is really great, and as Tim had mentioned, like, he's like, oh, the soundtrack's really good, and so I'm kind of keeping an open ear. I was like, hey, it is pretty good, but then if you listen to it, there's really only two or three pieces he used. Like,
yeah,
he's using it over and over.
Yeah,
so I think he just phoned it in. He was probably like, yeah, here, just take this here, right?
I got
a Sunday afternoon.
play the disc. I keep the disc in the drawer.
Yeah, well, no, I just imagine like a Sunday afternoon. He woke up and he was having his coffee, and then you're like, oh, man, something I was supposed to do. I'm supposed to do that soundtrack.
So, here's the score. Movie. Someone called Bob Moog. I need some sense in the stats.
Hey, you just put a couple beeps in your beep. That's it.
It's a bleepa a boopa. That's a one spicy a bleepa.
No, I was going to do the old bing a bang a boom with the beautiful thing. I'm done. But you know, still, that his mediocre stuff is still pretty good. You know, I mean, it's not. But did you see on that guy's website though that you can get a CD of the soundtrack?
Ooh.
And it says the score of the movie, and then it also.
Dialogue.
The soundtrack was given a commercial release in '92 on RCA, comprising 17 tracks. From the Humanoid and the movie Nightmare Castle.
Wow.
So that would be a pretty good. I mean, that would be more like a going to sleep tennis. If you listen to this soundtrack on the road, you would be off.
So it starts off. This movie is a ginormous Star Wars ripoff.
Should we play the little opening?
Yeah.
I like a good red opening.
Let's see.
I think I've got it. A little music to bring us in.
That keeps moving over and over.
This is the heroic music. Oh, here it comes.
Metropolis. Known ages ago as planet Earth.
Is this where you get the scroll that comes up?
Yeah, and you can't read it, so it's a good thing he is.
Just escaped from the prison satellite. Where his brother, ruler of the peaceful galactic democracy, had exiled him. Malevolent and power-hungry, Grawl has plans that might forever alter the destiny of mankind.
Oh, this is the more subdued one. I like this one. This is it. Beep, beep, boop.
It's like I'm relaxing on the beach.
And that ship's flying through a big old like cloud of pot smoke or something.
Off and then you get the spaceship. Yeah, you get the spaceship flying overhead on the planet. It like steals even the cinematography like right off the film.
Oh, did you see that? There was one of the links I sent when they actually, the guy put the comparisons, like, right down the line. Like, it had pictures of, they're almost absolutely stolen shot from shot.
Okay, we can
but I will say this, though, I thought they did a good job with the models.
Yeah, well, I mean, it was a couple years later. They probably had a little bit better technology, Italian technology, I guess.
I think they nailed the land speeder pretty close.
Yeah. The only time the effects were really bad was the green. They did a green screen thing, like some of the desert shots were not good. But what I found too is like if I watched it in full screen, it was kind of grainy. So I watched it in smaller, and it didn't look that bad.
I kind of enjoyed this movie.
I enjoyed it too.
I enjoyed most of it. I was just like, oh, this is just. Bizarre.
It was like a bizarro Star Wars. You nailed it on the head, Tim.
Well, the other comparison, not to compare it again to toys, but they have a guy who did Frank, I don't know what his last name was, who did the conceptual art for Star Wars, and then they put the figures out. And so they're all different in Star Wars. Like, Obi-Wan has like a weird blue robe, like Chewbacca has this really weird demon-looking thing, but this is kind of like it reminded me of that. Like, oh, this is like the conceptual art, like come to life. So, but I thought the sets were pretty good. I mean, they were so odd, and it was obviously like, they didn't construct the sets for the movie. And I'm like, is that a library or something? I mean, it had these weird like bins and stuff to it. But I don't know.
Oh man! Oh wait a second. I'm just queuing up a little something so we get a taste of Goa.
I think I'm really quiet. I'm like, did I say something bad?
No, it was pretty good. It was good construction, except for the warehouse scene at the end.
It was no pyramid in the desert, but...
No, it doesn't top that.
But
the ultimate
thing. The movie starts off with Richard Kiel and a beard, who's flying with a robot dog.
R2-D2.
Bark2-D2. I don't know. And he crash lands because he's out of something or other,
wasn't he lost in space?
Yeah, and then, like, the evil guy, the evil Grawl guy, his spaceship, and the doctor, the mean old doctor guy who came up with the humanoid missile, he sees him, and he's just like, whatever, zap. He was somehow able to see into his spaceship as it was distressing on by. He's like, oh, he's a perfect specimen. And then he, like, did something to it, and it, like, bloop, fell down right into the planet. And of course, Richard Kiel, you know, all full bearded Viking looking, pops out, brings his little stupid robot dog with him, and
R2-D2. That's R2.
And
that was the cheesy thing. Like, I mean, out of like the speeder and some of the stuff that they did right, that was terrible. A little dog.
Dog's tail was a radio antenna that extended out.
Yeah, it was barely a step up from a speak and spell. I mean, it was terrible.
Bark, bark.
Yeah, and the tail, and it was interesting because Kiel was so grouchy with him.
Yeah.
Like then I guess we were supposed to really feel like, well, it's like a real dog, and everything, and then he's kind of like, oh, I'm sorry, boy, his acting. Oh my goodness. It was so bad.
Oh, Richard Kiel?
Let's have a little Richard
Kiel. Well, yeah.
There we go. He's flipping switches.
Are we cooking, Richard?
Oh, wait. You know what? It helps I turn the volume.
Metropolis Security, acknowledge. Metro!
Uh-oh. Yeah, it's just flying. He's flying a... something. I don't know what the hell that is, but... Uh-oh.
They've got their problems. But I've got mine. I've got three times to replace that thing.
Mark, Mark.
First.
Oh, here he yells at him.
Are your circuits clogged or something? This is no time for games. Who programmed... Anyway,
poor
if you want to play games, go outside and play.
You're in space.
But you know what's interesting is that he's better when he's just a monster.
That's what happened, right? So he pops out, an evil doctor guy lobs a humanoid missile on him. And it's like, it's a giant, I swear to God, it's the model rocket from the gate. And he just...
No, but you know what it looked like? It looked like one of those rockets that you use to shoot the science class with a crack rock in it.
Yeah. So it conveniently is in this lake.
You just messed up.
Richard Kiel is conveniently in this lake, well spoken, and he gets blindsided by this crack missile, and yeah. The whole fucking lake blows up, and then he shows up out of the lake. The dog's all freaking out because he's a dog and a robot. Don't ask me why. And he crawls out of the lake, except his gear is now dark, and somehow, like, the crack rocket blew his fucking beard.
No, he blew his beard off. No, his beard didn't change colors. It blew his beard off.
It blew his whole damn beard
off. I have distinctively in my notes... It blew his beard off.
Yeah. So apparently this doctor concocted a crack missile that not only clean shaves you, but also gives you a darker decor.
Dyes your clothes, too.
Yeah. And of course, the next logical step, and I'd like to thank the producers for this one, Richard Kiel went back to a Mongoloid idiot. And that's really what he's good at. So.
Which was so crazy because, I mean... I always, like, all of these movies that we watch, like, what makes them so fascinating for me is, like, I probably think about it more like from, like, a weird philosophical term. And I just imagine Richard Kiel's, like, finally, I'm going to get some dialogue. And I'm going to get to really show my acting chops. And I imagine him staying up late at night, making his wife read over the script with him. He works really hard. And then he gets to about the middle of it, and he's like, well, wait a minute, what? I go back to a monster? And he's like, and he's really upset about it. But that's what he's good at, because he's just a big old crowbar.
Exactly. Right? And meanwhile, on the other side of the planet, there's some kind of utopia, ultimate peaceful town going on. And this lady, Barbara, who in real life...
Barbara Gibson.
Who in real life is Corinne Clary. And she's in a movie called You're the Hunter from the Future, which is another Italian movie that I might have to try to find.
She's in a lot of movies. I looked up her IMDb. Most importantly, she's in a lot of
movies. She's in some movie called The Story of O, which is rated NC-17, so I'll just leave it up to you to guess what the O means. Really quick, the beautiful O is taken by her boyfriend, Renee, to a bizarre retreat where she is trained in bondage and sexual perversion. Renee discharges a personal debt.
I was hoping it was a female Ricky O. You were saying, like, Ricky O.
So this lady is taking care of the little Asian kid that's in all the Godzilla movies.
Where'd he come from?
His name is Tom Tom, which is probably the most racist name ever for a kid of that.
You know what? I didn't really think of it as racist. I just thought that he was, like... I just kept thinking of the car navigation. And his acting was about as good as the car navigation.
He reminded me of a smart aleck and magical Short Round from the Indiana Jones movie.
A little bit.
Yeah, but you know what? Short Round was had a little more of a pulse. This kid kind of seemed like he just woke him up. Like he just kind of seemed sleepy.
He's still a smartass.
I thought he was okay.
He's still kind of a smartass.
What?
But would he be the Yoda? Oh wait, there was no Yoda in 1979.
Not yet. He was a future
Yoda. So this Obi-Wan, he was like little Obi-Wan.
Except he was like Obi-Wan, unless he was a little Japanese kid.
Yeah.
So this kid and Corinne Clary, who also, by the way, was in Moonraker along with Richard Kiel. So I just put it in the
Yep, I'm gonna have to rewatch Moonraker.
Yeah, you do that, I'll watch the story.
I don't like
though.
James Bond.
So
that's one of the classic bad James Bond movies. It's awful.
Yeah.
Aren't they all kind of bad? I just can't. No, I can't get into a 5'1" English man being able to do anything other than like serve really good tea.
That's in the realm of like there's Moonraker and Octopussy. It's all those over the top.
Those are all Roger Moore ones too, and I don't like Roger Moore.
That's why they're so bad. They're so good.
Except for in Cannonball Run.
Anybody in Cannonball Run is good.
Jackie Chan was in Cannonball Run.
Hey, well, no one shall badmouth Cannonball Run.
Easy. I'm not talking bad about Cannonball Run.
Much like racing across the country in Cannonball Run, and it turns out that the evil guy, Lord Growl, the no underwear wearing utopian people, and the and Richard Kiel himself are all chasing after this thing called a Capitron. Which I still have no idea what it is. To me, at the end of the day, it looked like really fresh popcorn.
Well, what I said, I wrote down my note. There was a part when they finally gave it to the Darth Vader guy, and I just wrote down, "Your igloo cooler, sir."
I kind of thought I'm glad somebody else noticed the peaceful people didn't wear underwear. Mike said it, so I'm just saying I agree. There's people were not
The Korean lady didn't wear any underwear, and I couldn't see any underwear with the face guy. The guy who was basically the Battlestar Republica ripoff of the guy who played Face in the A-Team.
You know, I keep forgetting about Battlestar Galactica. Was that around at
this time? But it wasn't the same guy. It was just some cheap knockoff. And the only thing that really established his character is that pretty much in 3/4 of the movie, he was walking around with a space helmet under his arm, and that was about it. That's about all he did.
He's kind of a cross between the guy from Battlestar Galactica and Han Solo.
Yeah, but those are like two really cool characters of my childhood.
I know, and this was not cool.
This guy is not.
And then to round out the cast of characters, Barbara Brock shows up. She's like some lady Amatron or whatever, and basically she's Cowtown. She's relying on the doctor because she's got to have some like beauty serum, and the only way that she has the
worst widow's peak I've ever seen in that movie. The way they styled her hair was like a widow's peak helmet.
I wrote down that it looked like she fell asleep wearing a sun hat, and then that's like the worst like case of hat hair ever.
Well, and I thought it was interesting, and I'm sorry, I'm probably stepping on your mojo.
I'm looking at this story right now.
The whole blood serum thing, wasn't there I should have been researched by right at that time, but wasn't there a queen in England who believed that she would continue to be youthful from the blood of like young virgin women, wasn't that correct?
I do not know that.
That kind of sounds like something I do.
But you think about it too, because what I found interesting is that this is supposed to be in the future, and they have all these amazing things. So there's this again. Sorry, this is going the philosophical realm. Like this is like way too much thought probably put into this.
Well, I have a lot of boobs in my notes, so we need some balance here.
A lot of what?
Boobs.
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 Boobs. Boobs. And tats.
Well, no. I'm having trouble hearing, and I was like, I can't say that boobs or boobs. As in pants.
Oh no! I'll let go here in a second. But that's the one thing I wanted to point out is that the contraption that sucked all the life juice out required the first lady to be completely naked, which was made me happy. But then when that Korean lady got thrown in there, she was fully clothed, and I was a little disappointed about that. Especially now, considering that she was in this like dominatrix movie a couple of years earlier. But anyway. I digress.
But what I was trying to say is like too is that so it's in the future, but the way that you get the serum out of people is through an old Iron Maiden. That's what those are called. those are like from medieval. That was like a Spanish Inquisition thing.
She was aligned with the bad people, so she was having to use like old crap, is what I thought.
I'm placing it all on the doctor. The guy already developed a crack rocket, so he had to have taken some kind of pleasure of not only coming up with like the things, but also coming up with creepy, ridiculous ways of delivering them. So he's like, I could just put the needle in her arm and suck it out gently, or
I could put her in this machine.
Or squeeze it like an orange juice for like fresh orange. And you never saw him like give her an injection, and she was watching. So I don't understand like how did the serum or whatever that comes from that get to her? You never. It only lasts a day, right?
Yeah. So there must have been people. They must have been killing ladies left and right.
Yeah. Well, and then also, like, if there's two brothers, there's one brother that everyone's peaceful and hanging out in their robes, and the other one, you've got a good chance that you're going to be stuck in an Iron Maiden and be killed.
Yeah.
Where do you think you're going to go? Like, how do you get people to sign up for your serum? Yeah, your team.
I got a crack rocket.
I got a crack rocket. I got an Iron Maiden. But here's the, there was so many. I'm sorry, what?
I got a half Darth Vader helmet. I'm set.
if this is the future, I'm not impressed because not only did they have Pong, but the concept of a desk job is still around too, which is not good.
That's not my future. No, thank you, sir.
No. And Tibet, too. There's still Tibet.
Oh,
Do they say it's a bed at the end? Whoops, sorry.
We'll get to that. The Capitron, the good brother, the good brother is guarding the Capitron,
good guy.
And since we have a cracked up Richard Kiel all drooling a mongoloid, they bring him back to the spaceship, and then they train him, and then they embed this little controlling device, of course, setting up for when it'll get knocked off. And then they send him back down and, like, go after this. So, like, apparently, like, they send him, and he runs through, and apparently this like, crack rocket gives you the ability to bounce lasers off of your own body.
Yeah, he was invincible. He was a one-man army.
I love the lasers in it. I love it because it was the classic pew, 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 pew. And
I would love how he would grab them by their shirt and they would just whee.
Oh,
he would just kind of
that's
swing
another thing. Mr. T toss. I'm telling you, if I ever did a thesis on film study, it would study the idea of the Mr. T toss that was prevalent in the late 70s and the early 80s. Every big guy or every like superhero guy, for lack of a fighting skill, resorted to just picking the guy up, looking at him, and then just throwing him, and seeing that one camera shot where the camera's on the ground looking up, and the guy just kind of jumps in the air, and it's like, wow, he threw him really far.
Well, he didn't. There weren't that many impressive tosses, this is the other thing I wrote in my notes. So they have these guard outpost stations, right? So what do they call Kiel? What's his name?
Golob.
So Golob comes in here, and then like he's just right. They have all these outposts set up and all these guards. And the way you get in is a key card.
Yeah, that's right.
Oh no! I'm sorry. I'm getting ahead of that. When they stole the mineral, the crack thing. Are we playing something? I can't.
No, I don't worry about it.
It's just lasers. Pew 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 pew. Pew, pew.
Oh.
You're
I
fine.
Couldn't get the laser. But what I'm saying is that like the first thing, like the guy who broke in and stole the mineral to so he could make his crack rocket, it was like they basically just they beat up one guy, they took his key card, and that was it.
Yeah.
But then later in the film, they're like, we beefed up our security. I'm like, what, did you change key cards? I mean.
Oh, and what's even
that's
better?
A key card for work. I could have probably
what's even better is like the doctor somehow has this magical camera and he's like watching, and then like he's like, oh, I'm in here now. What? Let's go ahead and just kill my brother first. So he goes runs after the brother, and then they spring a trap for Golob, the humanoid.
Yeah.
And it was a complete story of Ricky ripoff. I don't know if story of Ricky ripped this off. But I think that's what they did, because what happened is that they lured him into this one area where it was this giant, huge press that was pressed down, and they demonstrated by, like, smashing a clay putty bowl or something. I don't know.
Right,
so,
right.
Obviously, they lure him in there, a la, like, when they threw the two heroes in the story of Ricky into prison. And then they just started lowering this big metal thing. And, like both movies... You know, Richard Kiel catches it and pushes it up and is like, ah, not so fast. But then, like, the doctor gets his other grudge because you realize this Barbara chick is there, and I guess he's got a bigger beef with her. And he's like, no, she's here. Go kill her.
That made me so mad, because that is just, like, the whole film equivalent of, like, when the James Bond movie, when they finally have him captured, and rather than just cutting his head off, you tell him your whole plan... And then somehow he escapes, and he has it, and it's like, you're right there. Finish the job. Didn't go
dude,
kill
and
Barbara.
And you know what?
I'm like,
and it's my goal before November 23rd to watch all of the Doctor Who episodes. And I'm going to tell you, it's pretty much every cliffhanger of a Doctor Who episode. It's that. It's like, you know, you should have just offed them, but no. Like, I just watched this one where, like, this guy has a giant composting machine. And it's obviously very slow moving, and he gets tied up into it. And I swear to God, people—I think three or four different people got rescued at the last second from that thing. So it's like the same thing.
Well, so basically, like villains in these kind of movies and Doctor Who and everything basically need some sort of medication to help with their attention and their focus. Like they have ADD of some kind on some level.
That's probably why they failed school and now has an evil grudge toward everybody in existence.
It's true.
I lost that part. I lost your
wisdom. It wasn't very wise at all. It was more smarmy.
Anyhow, so Tim, go ahead.
No, I just the villains lack the ability to achieve their goals they have in front of them. If you can't hit a moving target, so
yeah.
Well, it's kind of hard to beat the enemy. It's kind of hard to beat the good guys when they have an Asian kid that can summon up a laser arrow toting crash test dummies.
Yeah, I didn't quite get that either, because were they ghosts or were they real?
They were part of his crew. They were was his posse.
They're from his little flying sailboat.
So he gets done talking to these arrow people, and like they float off or whatever, and then the chick and the little Timmy from the Godzilla movies are hanging out. Richard Kiel obviously comes in, starts attacking him.
Tom. And then
Tom, Timmy, whoever the hell his name is, like pulls his Buddhist, pulls his Buddhist magic on him and gets him to calm down, and then pops the control unit off his forehead.
Here's a little Tom. Oh, wait, where'd Tom Tom go? There we go. It's coming.
Ooh.
He's mind cooking him right now.
May your essence return to your body. Let me reach into your heart and into your soul.
My name is Tom Tom.
Oh, brother. Oh.
You know, the most disturbing part about this scene...
What's that?
It was all the child rape.
He was what?
Don't worry, you don't want to hear that.
I didn't hear what you said, so no child.
It was something about rape.
There's so much noise, like, I can hardly hear. And it's not the phone, it's just, like, around here, it's like...
No, no, animals trust me, down the hallway. You don't want to know that comment. You'll hear it,
Tom Tom... Basically, this is a weird question. Did Richard Kiel have that giant lump, like, before he took the little crack rock jewel thing off?
I think he kind of did. I think that's just his forehead.
Okay, that's what I was like, ooh, is that where the rock was? I mean, is he scarred? But he didn't get all the faculties back right away.
No, he's kind of like half there.
Yeah, yeah, he was kind of like...
It's him making the lump go away.
That's really loud.
And then Golob gets a wistful look on his face and a lump on his forehead.
Yeah.
But they never explained either why, like, whatever happened to make him into a humanoid, like, where he could deflect lasers and was invincible. He got blown up at one point.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, they didn't.
He's still fine.
They didn't.
They just didn't. The end.
Well, but I think we forgot to say the big plot point as well, that the bad guys were planning on basically using that mineral to make everybody into a humanoid.
Yeah.
And then they were going to attack the other ones. So again, it goes back to the whole thing. It's like, so either you get to be a humanoid or you get all your blood sucked out of you and given to Barbara Bach.
And he wonders why he has a hard time getting half the universe on his side.
Yeah. And first of all, who wants to rule the whole universe? That sounds like a lot of work.
I know, you know, it's like Rome. Yeah. It's like they couldn't. The technical facilities weren't even available at that time to be able to do it cleanly. Anyway, they still. I mean, hell, even in their time, they still had keypass cards.
Yeah, I lost it again. I hate this setup. This is the continuation of the new year of not being able to hear. Like my disappointing Christmases have passed, but so where so okay, so did you? Okay, this is another philosophical thing. So I was wondering, and I guess the webpage answered my question. I was wondering, like, at this time, were there people that said that this was better than Star Wars?
Wow.
Do you think?
Wow.
But would this work? If you would have seen this as a kid, this would have worked for you, right? Like, I mean, I know I'm older than you, but, like, imagine,
you know what,
like,
the difference is that there's a lot more, and this was one of the things that bothered me about this movie, is that we had to get 2/3 through the movie before we had our first space fight. Like,
yeah. Right. There was so much setup and then no action.
No,
you're right.
Wasn't.
I wrote that in my notes. Yeah.
That's why I was like, I thought
a lot of setup.
That's why I thought this movie was more of a cross between Star Wars and Frankenstein, if anything else, just minus a lot of the good parts of it.
Remind us all of the skill and story and charismatic actors.
So, like, as a kid, I would have picked Star Wars way over this because, I mean, within the first.
But would you have enjoyed it though?
Would
this have worked in the pinch? I mean, because you think about it, when we were kids, there wasn't the Clone Wars and the 6,000 comic books and the other stuff.
If they showed this, like, on the UHF channel on the weekend.
Well, I would say.
Yeah, would you have been excited?
Yeah, because there's a one boob scene in it.
Well, no. Besides those. No, but I mean, but, you know, because I kind of thought, well, this probably would have worked in a pinch for me. I mean, you know, I would have been like, yeah, it's not Star Wars, but it's still pretty good.
It would have been passable. Boobs or no boobs, it would have been passable just because you had the scary looking guy and it was the future. As a kid, I probably would have been fascinated and enjoyed the dog a lot more. You know, so I probably would have been into that fine.
Mark,
but so my question watching it, because I remember there on George Carlin on his sitcom that he had this really great scene where he was talking to his friend in the flashback scene, and his friend was talking about Woodstock. He goes, "Man, you don't want to go to Woodstock. He goes, you want to go to Altamont. That's a much better show." And then his friend goes, "Well, what about cocaine? I heard it's bad for you." He goes, "No, cocaine's great for you." I mean, like, everything that he was saying was wrong. So I just wondered, I'm like, was there a guy back in 1979 who was like, no, forget Star Wars, man. The humanoid is way better. So then I found that website, and this guy really thinks, and his mom, I don't know if he's being, like, tongue-in-cheek, but he likes this movie better.
I don't know. If we could call him up and interview him or something. Is he still around?
Did you see the Kung Fu pictures?
I'd send him an email.
I wonder,
you did,
I,
or you will?
I bet he would.
Yeah. Let me look at this. What?
It could be the first sit-down interview, one of the podcasts. We can call him and... But you know what, though? You got to see there, too. I think he's English, right? The guy who has the site. And the site's called gullibthehumanoid.com. And he has a thing that says Kung Fu, and it has pictures of him doing Kung Fu. And he's English, so he's in his garden in the back, in his little backyard doing Kung Fu.
I saw the Kung Fu thing.
Oh, I got to look for that. Where is that?
I think it's...
Gollum the Humanoid homepage, and then I think it's got a link to Kung Fu.
Cosmos, that space junkie Dukeoid.
Oh my! Links.
What was that?
that's the music plays on the homepage when you open it up.
Oh yeah, that's right. You know, because I was firing up the homepage, I'm like, what is that? But I'm sorry, I'm sidetracked. Seeing the worst sidetracker in the world.
Oh man.
But,
I didn't see that, but this guy has a list of other movies. It's at the Hyper Drive-In. The guy has a lot of lists of recommended of science fiction movies.
Well, and I got this. I was kind of hoping when I was looking this up at IMDb, it would say those who like the humanoid also like. Because I'm like,
oh,
I could watch some kind of silly space film.
I have one of these movies.
Which one?
We have Galaxina.
Yeah, didn't you send me that? I have Galaxina.
Yep, we have that.
Cool.
Life Force is amazing.
Well, maybe we can spin through some other stuff and go back.
And Laser Blast was actually done on Mystery Science Theater 2000.
I was going to say, I think I have that.
Which is a quick side note, I did right before the epidose buy 2 tickets to see Joel Hodgson next Friday. He's going to be in town.
Is he by himself?
He's by himself. He's doing a little 2-hour one-man show. That's what we got. But after that, he was going to do a riff with Master Pancake, and we were too slow to get that. But we're going to go see. We're going to go sit down and see 2 hours of him talking anyway. And God, as another side note, have you guys ever seen this web show called Comedians Going to Get Coffee, Driving to Get Coffee?
No.
It's Jerry Seinfeld did it, and it's like 26 comedians. He just picks them up and then drives across some town somewhere in like some classic car, and then they get coffee, and then he drives them back. And it's a website. I think it's on Crackle, but if you look it up, it's like comedians driving to get coffee or something. And Joel Hodgson is in one of the episodes. So check that out when you get a chance.
Well, I got to see the Cinematic Titanic guys like when they first started at it. I've done a couple of the riff tracks, and there's so much. I don't know why. I love that stuff. But I do have a recommendation, too, but I will save mine towards the end because it leads to my pick.
Ooh,
I have my pick. I think it's my turn, isn't it?
Yes.
Because they went Santa Claus, humanoid, and then
So let's go through this movie then. Okay, so. I'll be disintegrated. They.
That's still 2-1.
Man. So they all get together. The telekinetic Asian kid, Mongoloid Richard Kiel, and Slutty Barbara.
No, he's getting back to normal. He's slowly in. It's not Barbara. It's Barbara Gibson.
Barbara Gibson.
But that's another thing. I mean, like in the future, we're still gonna have scenes like Barbara Gibson. Unfortunately, I was hoping we'd have like Tom Tom and different crazy names, but Barbara Gibson. I mean, like Han Solo and like Luke Skywalker are futuristic names. Barbara Gibson is my 5th grade like English teacher. So
yeah,
her name was on her desk too. Did you notice that? In her little she had a nameplate on her desk. It said Barbara Gibson.
Yeah. So we have desk, nameplate, in the future. It's like I'm not looking forward to this future. It sounds a lot like our future, but in Arizona. It's just, that's what it looks like.
Apparently corporate America does okay.
Yeah, I guess in the middle of the desert, we're going to have really nice libraries.
So somehow, I forgot, somehow the Capitron got to the bad guy's hands. I don't know how that happened. I forgot.
They went in and took
it. That was the raid. That was the raid when they stole that guy's passport.
Oh, yeah.
And then they stole his igloo cooler. Because remember they said, it's marked with a big K. Well, none of these have a K. Well, it's supposed to be a different shape. God. Oh, there it is, an octagon.
Oh, God, I remember
that. Boy, I remember that whole thing. Wow.
Oh, boy.
Wow. It's like Laurel and Hardy was sent. Laurel and Hardy was sent to get the. It's an octagon.
And it was crazy because he knew that he messed up because Barbara Gibson, he didn't kill her, right? So, yeah, and he goes, well, hopefully I'll just get in trouble. And then when he tells the Darth Vader dude, Darth Vader goes, you have your privileges taken away for 10 days.
Yes, exactly. He grounds him. He's like, oh, I hope he doesn't kill me. And then he's like, you can't, you're grounded.
It would have been great, like, later in the movie, they cut to a scene of him lying in a bed with his feet up on the wall, bouncing a tennis ball off the wall.
He's the one guy who doesn't get killed at the end of the movie because he was in his room.
Yeah, and he goes, anyone out there? Kind of hungry for some lunch. And he just starts throwing the tennis ball. He plays a little guitar in the tennis racket.
Can I come out now? Hello?
Hello?
That's awesome.
Everyone's dad eats up in front of the door.
Get this door open, guys.
No.
Guys.
So, so they get away. They're starting to make more humanoid missiles, right? But then it's like it's time for all the good guys to get together and plot and to get it back. And man,
and then they do a commando raid with the invincible Gollum.
Well, wait, did the other ripoff from Star Wars happen first? Though did the other ripoff where they had the laser fight where two guys had to like man the turret cannons? Did that happen?
Yeah. Oh yeah. Oh my gosh, that was such a big steal too. Yeah, you're right. I forgot about that.
Yeah, that happened on the way to the planet, I think.
Yeah. So they did their own little, hey, let's learn how to fire these cannons and blow up bad guys. And that was like,
and they did the princess rescue. I mean, it's everything. It's so audacious. Like, whoa, listen to that big old word score there. For them to even do this movie, it's like, man, what are you thinking? I mean, it's just like, sorry.
Oh, no, let it all out. So, like,
It's audacious.
So they make the raid. They get to wherever they need to get to make the raid, and that's when like Mr. Invincible showed up and started tearing the shit up, and that happened. And then like the robot dog, you know, because we wanted to further prove that in fact this was more of a dog than a robot. The robot dog made wet on the floor to slip up one guy.
I thought it was old. R2D2 didn't shoot oil out and make people fall.
He
sprayed out oil, then he started it on fire. R2D2 was a little more hardcore.
Oh, totally.
He electrocuted people, and he was more of a killer bot.
He was kind of a silent assassin, if you think about it. Like R2D2 is a little bit tougher. Yeah, we're like, oh, he's cute. He's like a trash can. Like,
what was cool is that they were obviously building up to the last giant like fight scene, and that's what this was. And what was cool is that they had that looped on happy heroic music going on the whole time.
Yeah.
And I was like, I don't care what's going on. I'm just happy now because of this music.
Well, here's what was so bizarre too. It's like for most of those shots, this is what really bothered me. You could see all of the good guys in one shot. So, but in the background, you see all this laser fire. I'm like, who else are they fighting? Are they just randomly? Are they hiding and like sticking their guns up above a box and just shooting and having no idea if there's anyone there?
Well, it is.
I mean,
this
is like the most incompetent death squad. But you know what I mean? Like, they'd be having dialogue and you'd hear this pew-pew-pew in the background.
So it was like that for 15 minutes, pretty much.
Yeah, and then Richard Kiel pulling out beams and knocking over scaffolding.
Oh, dude. Oh, highlights.
But you know what, though? The one Richard Kiel scene, when he picked up the brown guy and he started smashing his head in the ceiling, that was hilarious.
No, dude, I got you one better. Where he rips off that beam, and then he tosses it in, and he, like, decapitates 6 minutes in a row with it. That's amazing.
Yeah. It was like... Yeah, it was kind of like, it reminded me of the Wild Wang. Remember with the guy who was throwing the pole vault, the stick?
Yeah.
But it was like Richard Kiel had more oomph in it, and it was like, I was like, well, this is the second pole vaulting death in a row that we've had in a movie. Oh, no, wait, not the second in a row. This is the second one, I should say.
So yeah, he lobbed this sidebar, this rebar, just lobbed off 6 heads in a row. And then what else happened? Oh, the side story with Barbara Bach. With I think once we come to realize right in this movie that she's really just in there because she's beautiful and they paid her to be in there. So finally, like she didn't get a chance to get her serum because the doctor was preoccupied with making crack missiles, and the fight breaks out and she never had a chance to like regenerate. So they had like one of the goriest, most creepiest like face melting scene like ever. It's like, her face like melts into like a bone right in front of the screen.
I didn't quite understand. I'm like, how did that happen so suddenly? I mean, it went from like 0 to 60 where she was like, ooh, I'm feeling kind of weak. Hey, where's the serum? It's like, it's in the spaceship. I'll get it. And then the next thing you know, she's like a melted candle in the corner. So that's what the Beverly Hills Doctors of the future, I guess, are really amped up. It's like a higher percentage of failure.
It is, right? It's not like a new future, but it is like a hyper amped up version of what today is. With like, placards and key passes and Biblio's doctors and dogs that can fire lasers.
A lot of warehouse destruction.
That's what I love about it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
There's nothing like a good science fiction movie that can pick a location like an abandoned warehouse. I mean, it's pretty much a staple.
Great. A warehouse.
Yeah. It's kind of like the early Doctor Who, though, where they. I think that one of the biggest stars in this movie should be like the set director. They did a nice job.
Oh, yeah.
The set.
Oh, the Utopian town was beautiful. I got to give them props for that.
It did look like Tatooine.
Yeah.
It definitely did.
The bad doctor getting his head stuck under the rocket?
Oh, that was amazing.
Oh, yeah. Richard Gill was smiling.
Yeah, and he just kind of left him there to get the rockets firing up, and he just sticks the guy's head underneath it.
Well, and the other thing, too, the rocket crashed, but it also all that stuff, like, seeped out. So I'm like, well, isn't everyone still getting contaminated then? I mean,
it's the future. Science is only convenient. It's not actual.
Yeah, but so I guess in a way, like it's like everyone's saved the day. The bad guys are gone. Oh, and
well,
I guess there is the lightsaber kind of dueling scene,
okay.
But they switch it up.
Let's get to that because one of the things that blew me away is like the Grawl guy, the Vader ripoff guy. Needed to make his escape, and he got on the slowest moving service elevator in the known history. He literally got on this thing and was like,
You guys want to hear his quote, though? Look, I have his quote of what he said. It's the greatest quote in the
world.
He says to him, no one can stop me now, princely hero. Come on, fight. What can you do against me?
I think I might be right over that mark.
Thank you. But it's interesting. It's like, what do you mean no one could stop? You know, like, at that point, everything was going to hell in a handbasket. He was trying to escape. Everyone was dying. Okay. Like, everything was... I was like, what do you mean no one could stop you from fleeing the scene?
Exactly.
I mean...
Not even, like, the laser arrow precious dummies could...
No one can stop me now, princely hero. Come on. Can you do against me?
Whose was better? Mine was a little better.
I like John's
better.
It had a little bit more conviction.
Yeah.
Delivery is better.
Yes. So the princely hero was not Grawl, was not him, or Golob. The princely hero was the face ripoff guy. He somehow showed up in the final scene. He's like, I'm gonna fight you, and he was probably universe's version of a jobber, because he just like showed up and he was just kind of like there, and they had the laser finger fight, which was pretty cool. I gotta admit, the laser fingers was pretty cool.
Yeah, and then you also had the world's best bear hug ever.
Yes, I can sport with you no longer.
Well, the fact that Richard King's like he pushed him to nothing.
Here they come.
You are as stupid and helpless as my brother.
Uh-oh. Blue hands. Here it comes. This is a terrible shot. Oh, here's a metal pole for you to fight with.
Yeah, so they're fighting, right? And out of the blue, Keel comes out of nowhere. He just kind of busts his way in.
Let's see.
And then, John, like what you said, he just pretty much gave him a bear hug, backbreaker, and then he just like disintegrated.
Yeah, and then so I don't know. Like in my mind, again, this is me giving him like too much credit. I was thinking as well. I'm like, well, maybe in some ways as well, they were thinking, well, this is going to be a sequel. This is going to be so huge. We can have where he just disappeared and our Darth Vader villain is still alive, much like the first Darth Vader in the first one, remember? Because he kind of gets blasted.
Into space.
And he's still alive.
He's like,
Yeah, and he's like flying around. So they're kind of like, well, maybe he just escaped as a ghost. And so now
he
we
teleported
don't do
out or something. Hey, there you go.
Absolutely.
I can sport with you no longer.
I can what?
I can,
what did he say?
I can sport with you no longer.
I thought he said snort. I was like, I can snort with you. I'm like, what?
Well, he does have a crack rock. Right?
I can't play with
this. So Kiel shows up, breaks his back, he melts away, and then everybody has the warm, glowy finish. The little Asian kid teleports for continuity's sake. So apparently, it turns out, well, first of all, like, Kiel somehow jumps back into the water. Oh, he grabs a Capitron because it was going to blow up because it was unstable or something.
Right.
And he sacrifices. Right. Yeah, and he jumps into the water, kaboom. So then the Asian kid shows up, teleports, like, oh, we saved him or something happened. And then it's like the beard magically reappears on Richard Kiel's face. And he's like, good guy.
So did you see the credits, too, that beard was so amazing it got a credit?
I did not know that.
Richard Kiel's beard.
No, it doesn't say Richard Kiel. It says Gollum the Humanoid.
No, it just
beard.
Says beard.
And then it says in the name, it says Richard Kiel.
Oh, wow. So the kid teleports away with the laser arrow crash test dummies, and he, like, reveals, the big reveal at the end is that he's a Tibetan monk. So, like, Buddhist, in this continuity, in this universe, in this parallel universe, whatever this is, it might be a parallel universe now that I think about it. You know, maybe it was just 1976 in a different, like, parallel universe. Anyway.
Or maybe that whole universe was on the fingernail of God.
Yeah. Huh? Well, it was on the same timeline, right? So when this movie was made and produced, 1976 in this universe, and then it was 1976 in that universe. That would explain the name tags and the key passes and the Buddhism.
The death job.
Yeah.
Job.
Exactly.
The threat of
right?
the death
it's
job.
it was like I wonder what that one decision led to the fork between those universes. It's like, I think I'm gonna poop in this hole today. And then 2 million years later, some Tibetan Asian kid floats away with laser arrow crash test dummies off into the sunset.
I must go fight Godzilla.
That was pretty magical, though.
He was, and they were in a flying. I wrote down they're in a flying translucent turkey parade float. I was like, wow, that's amazing.
Amazing. Yeah, so I've actually got to get ready to run. So I can let you fellas wrap it up, but I kind of enjoyed this. I think
that's a consensus. I think definitely watch it and do not fast forward.
No, not at all. I found that I could probably watch it again. I'd probably get even more out of it.
So. I just, you know, I mean, what in the Helios are you going to do besides that?
That's the one thing I didn't
like about that smart-alecky guy, and it was kind of lazy writing. And actually, it goes back into the parallel universe thingy, right? It's like they just took phrases of the day and replaced it with something that sounded futuristic. You know, like, kid, you got to be out of your gravity zone. You know?
Yeah, it was very hacky writing. I mean, would you mind? I don't think Star Wars would have been as
they made the Kessel Run in under 12 parsecs. I mean, that's
ooh.
That's legitimate.
I stand corrected. But so I want to give you guys my picks, my double feature, and then I got to skedaddle. I've got litter to scoop and all kinds of fun things.
Double feature. Eh?
And also I'm gonna ooh.
Did you
what?
Say double feature?
Yeah, because I found two things. They're both on YouTube, and I'll send you guys the links tonight. So my quick recommendation, what's kind of got me back a little into this world, is a podcast which I think you guys would both enjoy. Colt Cabana is now doing a podcast called The Art of Wrestling.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I don't know if you guys have heard it, but it's really good.
I follow
like this
him
week
on Facebook.
Is New Jack. Yeah, it's really fantastic. But so I've been listening to some of those in my commute and I'm enjoying them. And so I just was thinking, because they did it, end up doing like a Mystery Science commentary. They do it on shows. But so the double feature, because they're both just a little over an hour, and I figured we can do it, is the first one is called I Like to Hurt People, which is a kind of a documentary / dramatization of wrestling. And it has like the Andre the Giant, the Sheik, Terry Funk. It's really good. And then the other one I haven't seen, which is similar, is called Wrestling Queen. So I will be sending you guys links to those two.
Ooh.
And because I was going to do an 80s Mad Magazine movie called Up the Academy, but I
oh, I love that movie. I've seen that movie so many times as a kid. It's got Ralph.
Oh,
it's
have?
Got Ralph Macchio in it, man.
Yeah, it's an amazing soundtrack, possibly the best soundtrack ever.
Oh man, yeah, I might have to supersede you on that pick, by the way. But we'll get to we'll get to some wrestling stuff first because I'm intrigued by these picks.
Yeah, I didn't think that a lot of people knew about Up the Academy, and I just watched it recently, and like I own it, so I bought like five. Yeah.
I've watched it like three or four times when I was like a kid, like when I was 6 or 7. So if that is any indication of my mental status today,
well, those movies are just, that's also good. That movie goes in the category of you couldn't make that movie today. I mean, you couldn't. There's just so much. Like,
okay, so we'll have plenty to discuss during that episode. I can see that already.
Yeah, but so for right now, that's what I'll leave you with is those two picks, and I will send you links tonight, probably or tomorrow, and we can convene. So I'm gonna go scoop some litter and hopefully yeah.
Well,
the heroes. I bet you.
We'll play you out on the phone zone, so I'll fix it in post. But we'll phone zone you. So later, John.
Yeah, I want an echo and lots of laser beams every time I talk, firing behind me.
Awesome.
It's in my rider. All right, guys. I'll talk to you later.
Right, bye.
All right.
Yeah. All right. Bye.
It's happened before. It will happen again. It's happening to you. The phone rings and the Mulva Hills don't answer. Suddenly, you're in the phone zone. A communication time warp. Your ticket back, your message at the phone zone tone.
Yeah.
Indeed.
Yeah.
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 So yeah,
I have now a good reason to put that phone zone thing in, and which I will do most excitedly. So that was John. He's scooping cat poop and.
Gotta get to scooping cat poop. I've got a little. Before we go, they also read the clothes in this one. So here's the closing.
Once again, planet Earth had narrowly escaped disaster. Once again, it had found in itself the intelligence, the insight, and the strength to repel a mortal enemy. Once again, was to live at peace in the galaxy.
What happened before? I mean, this was once again. I mean, what's the story happening the first time?
They didn't have a lot of court history before the humanoid.
Apparently so. Not. So who's this guy? He's like, once again.
He's the parallel universe Rod Serling. Yes.
In the zone.
Which is, that's appropriate little time. He did kind of sound like Rod Serling. It's also a good time to remind everybody to go to gonzoguys.com and check out Uncle Mike's Fartbook blog. And, there's some trailers and other goodness over there.
Yeah, we might have to put up some of this Gonzo Foo stuff because I found the link for it and that's amazing.
Isn't that, it's something, isn't it?
It is him exercising, yes.
It's him exercising. We'll put some other fun links out there, too, so keep an eye out for those. But,
Man. Is it the humanoid pop song? Grenade Love Games? It's inspired by the humanoid. Oh, no.
Uh-oh.
All right, well, we'll find something to play out on that.
We can, hang on a second, I can jump back to...
I might just loop that. I don't know.
You might just loop a little bit of that. You might as well loop it, because that's what they did.
Pretty much. Once again, another episode is by the Guns of Guys. Once again, I am
the world is safe.
The world is from the human. Terrible movies. Once again, I did not get wasted during this episode. Once again, Tim queued up almost on time.
Almost.
Once again, John's phone was cutting out.
Once again, we heard this.
Once again, we visited Dr. Detroit's Taco Shack. No, but only for a minute.
I don't care for the soundtrack. It doesn't have enough taco sounds in it.
Once again, we drew parallels between the previous movies that we've seen.
Like I said, this is just not appropriate for a discussion. Where's the chicken? I need to try.
Once again, Tim takes Dr. Detroit too far.
Yes, I did.
And once again, we're going to play out with the song from, I guess, the movie.
Just a little bit. We'll just kind of keep going back to the same spot in the movie because it's just the quiet part. But you want the rocking part is what we want.
So. Once again, hopefully you'll join us next time.
There it is. Back to the rocking part.
Yes. So, until next time.
The next time.
Once again.
Don't fast forward.
Keep them away from the missile.